Good morning. I am recording this at 6:05 this morning, so I'm going to be brief so that it can upload on time, and because I have much to do this morning, perhaps like you. But as I was thinking about my morning and everything that I had to do, I was reminded of this passage in Matthew 6. Verse 33, which says this: "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Now, this passage takes place in the context of Jesus giving an exhortation in Matthew 6 this is within the context of the Beatitudes, and he's talking about exhorting people not to worry. Now, of course, it's easy to say, don't worry, and it's another thing to give people a reason not to worry. So Jesus says that there are two ways to exist in the world. The first way is to exist how most of us exist naturally, and that is to be anxious and concerned with securing yours and getting what you need and what you want, and it's to be consumed with the thoughts of how you're going to get what you need and what you want, and it's to look out into the world as if it's a finite number of resources and you have to make sure that you are getting your own, whether that's the attention that you need, whether it's the finances that you need, whether it's the clothes that you wear, whether it's the car that you drive, whether it's the home that you live in, whatever those things are for you, is to look out into the world. It's me against them, and I need to go and make sure that I secure what I need. And so that person is going to be thinking about those things, that thought process, that when you wake up in the morning, your thought process is going to be, oh, I have this desire, I have this need, I have this urge, I have this thing, and I need to go satisfy it, I need to go get it. And what that does is that teaches you to look out into the world as if the world and everyone in it is your enemy. And it doesn't teach you to look out at the world as if it is God's, as if he owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, but he does. It is his, and the world and everything in it and everyone in it belongs to him, and they will either worship him or they will bend their knee and admit that they ought to have. But everyone and everything in the world belongs to God. And so Jesus says that there's that way of living, that fixed anxiety, constant need seeking after, of procurement, of building wealth, of acquiring through debt, of looking and comparing yourself to your neighbor and what they have. And that's one way to live. But then Jesus says there's another way to live. And there's another way to live because Jesus Christ has come. Jesus Christ has come to unite heaven and earth. He has come to unite you and I to God through him. If you are a believer in Christ, if you have confessed and believed and sought him in baptism, or you're on that journey, you are in Christ. And what that means is Christ looked out into the world and had compassion. And he had compassion because he saw a world that was anxious to procure and secure and protect what it had, not realizing that God has given earth, all of it, to us, humanity, to steward with him. The final resting place for you and I is not in heaven in a disembodied state, but here on earth, resurrected bodies, working the land, building and worshiping and fellowshipping with the animals and with one another and with the trees and the springs and enjoying all of those things. That's the vision of the world that God had at the beginning, and it's the one that he still has, and it's the one that Jesus has given. And that's why he says, don't be, that temptation is going to be there. Don't give in. Instead, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Instead, set your mind above, right? Philippians, Paul says, set your mind on the things above, things on heaven. Whatever is good, whatever is true, whatever is noble, think about these things, right? This is what Christ is saying. He says, think first about the kingdom that he is bringing to bear and that he is giving freely to us. There's nothing to procure. There's nothing to strive after. If we are going to strive, let us strive after the kingdom. Let us reorient our minds. God is our provider. He has given us everything necessary for salvation and eternal life in Jesus Christ. There is not anything he will deprive me of today that I am truly in need of, because even if I should die today, he has given me everything I need in Christ. I will be raised to a new life, to the praise of his glorious name. And that is true. And so I am here, provided for by God each moment of each day. And when you realize that, then things start to lose their grip on you. You're not going to be tempted to go into debt to secure new clothes. You're not going to go buy the best car that you can, because you're not trying to compile an image for yourself to protect yourself. You're going to know that God is the one who is providing for you. Now, you might need a vehicle to get from point A to point B, and you might have the means to procure a decent vehicle. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's a difference between that and striving after it. I have two vehicles in my driveway. I don't owe anybody anything for them. I have peace about it. If one of the cars dies, we have another one. If both of them die, I have a church family. I have personal family. I have friends. We'll figure it out. God will provide. So as I'm praying in the morning and asking God to provide, and my mind is wandering with all of the things that I need to think about and the upcoming expenses and how am I going to provide for this, and thinking about my kids and what they need and working through all these things, much like you, gently reminding, being reminded by the Spirit that, you know, all those things are important. And God, you should care, cast those cares upon, because God cares. But after you've cast them there, set your mind on things above. God, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. My prayer time ends with that prayer, the Lord's Prayer, because it's a helpful reminder that God is the provider, that this is his kingdom, that we are participants, that we are part of God's kingdom that he is building, and he will not fail. And so the two mindsets that exist, the one that is anxious and aggressive and seeking and willing to do whatever it takes to build more and more, and then there's the mindset that looks out into the world, that looks out into the world and recognizes that God has given me everything I need. And day by day, moment by moment, he will meet me in the midst of even my enemies, and he will provide for me just what I need. I will be okay. That is the peace that Christ gives by uniting us back to God. You know, in my quiet time, I'm listening through the book of Job. I'm listening to scripture in the season of life, because sleep is a little bit less and there's more on my plate in the mornings to help because of the baby. So I've been listening through the Bible in chronological order. So I'm in Job now. And just look at Job, who set his mind on the kingdom. And God gave, God took away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then his children are taken from him. And his wife says, curse God and die. And he doesn't. And through the whole book, he remains faithful. He keeps his mind that God is able. I don't know why God is doing this, but he is able to change things. Perhaps he will, perhaps not. And in the end, God shows himself gives a glimpse of who he is and his power to Job. And Job says, I am undone. I thought I understood, but I don't. And so I say all that to say that this morning you might be tempted towards anxiety. There are bills to pay. There's things that need done. There are deadlines. There are tasks. There is children. There is potential conflict and strife. There is all kinds of things, all kinds of questions, all kinds of things that are pressing in on us. I want to encourage you to step out of that and to set your mind on the kingdom of heaven, to take a deep breath and remember that God is King, that Jesus is Lord, that he is providing for you every day, that he has died for you, that he has risen for you, that he lived for you, and that that Jesus who died, lived, died, and rose again is calling you to set your mind on the kingdom of heaven. God, this is all yours. God, I am here to do your will. Lord, not my will, but yours be done. To join Jesus in that prayer and to then find the peace that is there and the joy that is there, that you get to walk with God, with Christ himself through your day by the power of the Spirit, to bring about the Lord's will. That is what you're doing today. More than paying bills, more than meeting the needs of your children, more than giving someone a lift or doing things at work or whatever the thing your day ahead looks like. That is what you're doing. C.S. Lewis has this really good quote about this because this is a practice. It's the flesh, the old way of thinking dies hard, and especially if you're like me, if you're more anxious person, because you want to control things, because you want to do a good job, because you want, if this perfectionist bent to you, where you're perpetually feeling guilty and like you're not doing enough, and this is really helpful. I think Lewis might have been a tad bit like this himself. He was always worried about ending up in the poorhouse. C.S. Lewis was always worried about ending up in the poorhouse. This is what he said: it comes the very moment you wake up each morning. All your wishes and your hopes for the day rush at you like wild animals clawing for you. And the first job each morning consists simply in shoving them all back, in listening to that other voice, taking that other point of view, letting that other, larger, stronger, quieter life come flowing in. And so on, all day, standing back from all your natural fussings and frettings, coming in out of the wind. We can only do it for moments at first, but from those moments, the new sort of life will be spreading through our system, because now we are letting him work at the right part of us. It is the difference between paint, which is merely laid on the surface, and a dye or a stain which soaks right through. So he's saying, as you do this, it becomes not just something that you pull over, like a temporary covering, like paint, but as you think and meditate on the kingdom of God over and over and over and over and over again, it begins to soak through you like a dye or a stain. See, he says, God never talked vague, idealistic gas. When he said, be perfect, he meant it. He meant that we must go in for the full treatment. It is hard, but the sort of compromise we are all hankering after is harder. In fact, it is impossible. It may be hard for an egg to turn into a bird. It would be a jolly sight harder for it to learn to fly while remaining an egg. We are like eggs at present, and you cannot go on indefinitely being just an ordinary, decent egg. We must be hatched or go bad. And so I love this passage because it puts the stakes on the table. The kingdom of God has come. We can live into it. And as we live into it, the promise is that it will become more natural for us. Seeking the kingdom first becomes more and more natural. This is sanctification. This is becoming more like Christ. It becomes more natural, but it starts as a practice. It starts as a discipline. It starts as a habit, and that habit becomes who we are. As we align ourselves to the kingdom of God, as we set our minds on things above, as we put on the mind of Christ Jesus, as we do that, it becomes natural, and we begin to do it more naturally. And when the world presses in, I love that he uses the imagery that when we first wake up, it's like wild animals coming after us, and toothed and claw, because that's the old way of thinking, right? He says we must set that back, and the stronger, larger, quieter voice that we should take that in. All right, would you join me in prayer? Father, all that we have, all that we have is yours. May we know that today. May we see ourselves as stewards of the grace that you've given us, the gospel that you've given us, the provisions that you've given us. May we be content and satisfied with what you have given us, not striving after with debt, not striving after with workaholism, not striving after comparing ourselves and trying to build a false life for us. Help us to be content in you, that we wouldn't push people aside or jeopardize our family or those things, but that we would trust you. And to the degree that we have done those things, would you help us to receive your forgiveness? Help us to step back from that noise. Help us to set our mind on the kingdom, to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we would see that you are providing for us, that we would trust that. And that as we go through today, whether it's a felt relational need or a felt financial need or a felt physical need, Lord, would we trust you? Would you help us to trust you? That you are providing exactly what we need, moment by moment, to most glorify you and to most reflect the glory and the image of your Son. That each moment, as you give it, redeemed by your love, is exactly what we need. Help us to believe that. Give us the eternal mind to see that. We're so prone to let the temporary anxieties of this world crowd out our hope and our joy and our peace in you. So be gentle and merciful to us and embolden us by your Spirit to see your kingdom and live in its peace. In Jesus' name we pray.